This is Stephen Strang. What do you think of if I say mental health? You know, if you're a Christian, sometimes you are confused. Christians are supposed to have their act together. They're supposed to be happy and forgiven, and although we know there's spiritual warfare too. And so today on the Strang Report, I'm going to explore with a clinical psychotherapist the idea about mental health, and maybe you'll learn some things that'll help you understand it better.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, The Strang Report. And I am happy to welcome back Dr. Scott Bush, who is a clinical psychotherapist. And we did a podcast recently about depression and suicide, and if you didn't hear it, you can go on Charisma Podcast Network and listen to it again. It's really worth it. And I said, you know, we need to drill down a little bit. And as I was getting to know Dr. Bush and checking out his website, one of the things that caught my attention was he got all 5 stars. And nobody gets all 5 stars. So first of all, let me welcome you back to my podcast and just ask, what in the world did you do to get, if I remember correctly, it was like 81 5 stars?
Well, thank you for letting me be on your podcast again. I appreciate it. My patients love me. I am not good at a lot of things. I'm only good at a couple things. And the things that I'm good at, I'm very good at and I'm gifted at. And those that are leaving me those 5-star reviews with comments, it's because I've touched their life in an area where I have an expertise. And most of those people struggle with either depression, anxiety, PTSD, and we have a therapy that is very, very effective, quickly eliminating these disorders. And when you get rid of somebody's PTSD, depression, or anxiety in a handful of sessions, they will talk you up.
I bet that's the case. And I'm just looking here at some information about you, and it says that you counsel individuals and families.
Correct.
EMDR, which I want to find out what that means, but also trauma therapy, chronic pain relief, panic attacks, sex therapy, coaching, brain spotting. I have no idea what that means. Weight loss, which I do know what that means, and hypnosis. So can you kind of unpack that? So, you know, I mean, this is like a new area for us to learn about.
Right. The church is becoming more aware of mental health. You know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, mental health was considered like psychobabble. But now it is considered to be a very relevant and very needed topic. And I'm not good at a lot of things, but I'm good at a couple things. Let's talk about EMDR. So EMDR, that's eye movements, desensitization, and reprocessing. So basically what it is replicating REM sleep. So when we are sleeping, we get emotional resolution in REM sleep. And there's 5 stages of sleep, but the REM sleep is the most important sleep for good mental health. When we have events that happen to us that are very disturbing, say if we were going to scale it on a 0 to 10 scale, 10 being as highly disturbing as I can imagine. When you have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 out of 10 events, what happens is it gets stuck in your right brain. Our right brain is connected to our nervous system. So it's not so terrible that the event gets stuck. What's the worst part is the narrative that also gets stuck. So for example, if somebody is, they're in a car and they're driving and they get into a wreck and they can't get out. And so they're trying to get their doors open and they can't get it out. That can cause a PTSD event. And with, say, a narrative of, I feel powerless. So they can get past that event, so they think. The problem is that narrative gets stuck in their brain. It's almost like putting on a pair of lenses that aren't tinted lenses. They're not yellow lenses or rose-colored lenses. These lenses are a lens of, I feel powerless. And so then they start to look their worldview is more, I'm powerless. So similar situation happens. They go in an elevator and the door doesn't open right away. All of a sudden they can start to panic that, oh my Lord, I feel powerless. And so that can be overwhelming. And so that powerlessness gets stuck in a person's brain because it's in the right brain connected to the nervous system. And you can't pray that away. And so we have a type of therapy that allows it to be removed from the right brain, desensitize it, it's put in long-term memory, and disconnects from the nervous system. And so that's how we get rid of depression and anxiety.
And can you explain a little bit more about what EMDR means? I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but do you have any personal experience with that?
I do have personal experience. 10 years or so ago, I decided I wanted to get trained in EMDR. I didn't think EMDR worked. And so I thought I'll just get on the inside here and I'll figure out all about EMDR. And so there was extensive training. It was 6 days of training that we had to go through. And so we did EMDR on bullying when I was a kid. I really denied that bullying was a problem. In hindsight, it was a really big problem. Second grade was a really bad situation for me.
So were you bullied or were you the bullier?
No, I was bullied. I was a little kid. I had medical problems. I was very short, overweight. And so we processed that bullying. It was like 20 minutes through EMDR. And when we finished, I was going to a minister's conference up in Daytona. And my wife and I, we got a hotel on the beach in Daytona. And I brought my bathing suit, even though I don't swim. I haven't swam since I was a kid. And put my bathing suit on. I walked across the beach with my wife, and I walked right into the ocean, and I started swimming. And my wife is looking at me because I don't swim. And I'm swimming, and finally she yells out. She says, "Hey, what you doing?" And I said, "I love to swim." I stood up out of the water and said, "What happened to me? I haven't said I love to swim, I don't think, ever in my life." And when
But not loving swimming is not a mental disorder, is it?
It is not, but it is the fruit on the tree. Why didn't I want to swim? Why didn't I like to swim? And once I figured out the connection between bullying and not swimming, it allowed me to unlock the key to help people with EMDR better than what I was trained to do. And so if you can imagine that there's a fruit tree, and this is a true story. I had a fruit tree in my backyard. It was an orange tree. And I had to move the fruit tree because I was going to put a shed in my backyard. It was crazy. And so I tied a chain around the fruit tree and around my vehicle. And I yanked the fruit tree out of the ground and drug it over to the other side of the yard and dug a hole and replanted it there and watered it and said that it should work, be just fine. The problem was about 2 weeks later, the fruit started to shrivel up and started to die, and it fell off and died. A little bit later, the whole tree died. What happened was, is I killed the root of the tree. Once I killed the root of the tree, the fruit died. The root of my tree was the bullying in second grade. As I remembered, about a couple weeks after I began to swim, trying to figure out how did this happen, I realized that we would go to the private pools and the bullies would be there. They would try to step on your feet and push you in the water. And so it wrote in my mind, I don't swim. And so I quit swimming. And so it'd be very rare if I got in the water. I'd always say, it's too cold. I don't want to get in the water. And then all of a sudden I start swimming and I figured out the root was the bullying piece and I'm not good enough. And then when I'd go to swim, in my mind, strangely as it sounds, I wouldn't go in the water because of that event when I was a kid. When we processed the bullying event, that root, it killed the fruit that day, and I started to swim. And I've had other changes in my life also. I used to throw things, break things. I say, hey, I'm Italian. This is how we are. That's not how I am. That's not what God created. That's what junk did. So once we started to remove the junk, I don't throw things. I don't break things anymore. So it was life-changing for me. And once I figured out how to make that connection, I used that knowledge to help so many other people.
I know from just talking to you that you're a former missionary.
Yes.
So what is your odyssey? You referred to the training. It happened in midlife, I guess.
Correct.
What prompted you to get into this profession?
In the early 90s, my wife and I pastored a very dysfunctional biker church. And we had bikers, which weren't necessarily dysfunctional, but the ones we had were. We had alcoholics, we had drug addicts, we had people off the street, and they would come to the church, and we would help them to find Christ. They would get saved, they got baptized, they got filled with the Spirit. It was absolutely incredible, but they still had these strange behaviors that we couldn't get rid of. And so I thought, they need more than pastor counseling. And so that's why I started to pursue mental health counseling. It was because I wasn't able to help people at the level that I needed to. And as a pastor, we can only help people per our qualifications. Pastors aren't able to help in a mental health capacity. They can help in a spiritual capacity. That wasn't enough for my congregation. And so that's what drove me to get my mental health degrees.
And now you have all these areas of expertise, and I referred to it earlier. I guess I can understand what coaching means and trauma therapy. What about chronic pain relief? I would think a doctor or a chiropractor would help with that.
I find with chronic pain relief, many times chronic pain is connected to an event like PTSD. So we're familiar with, say, a war veteran. They come back and they hear a loud sound, fireworks, or they smell gunpowder. It can trigger them. So it could be what they see, what they feel, what they hear. And so we found that chronic pain is many times connected to an event. So I had a person I was working with that changed the details a little bit so no one would be able to recognize, but she gave birth 5 years prior. And when she came for individual therapy, she was moving around and she said, my back hurts. And I said, what's wrong with your back? She said, oh, since I gave birth, it was a real hard birth and my back has hurt ever since. I said, okay. So I did this bilateral therapy on her back. It was like 10 or 15 minutes. When we were done, her back pain was gone and she never had back pain again. So that trauma of that very difficult birth and all the pain that she was in, whenever she'd feel the slightest bit of pain, her body would take her back, her mind would take her back to that event where she had that great pain, and that pain just stayed. And so we get rid of chronic pain all of the time, very easily. I did a study with a major hospital in the area, and we did chronic pelvic pain. And so we had 13 patients that we worked with, and those 13 patients, after 2 hours of this special therapy, their average pain level went from a 7 out of a 10 down to a 3 out of a 10. And so we found it to be very successful.
Wow. You sound like a miracle worker.
Jesus is the miracle worker.
Amen. I believe that. But there are a lot of people that love Jesus that don't get these kind of results. Okay, tell me what brain spotting means. That's a new one to me.
Brain spotting is a type of therapy that I don't typically use. I'm trained in it. And basically, you are staring at a spot and somehow it connects to deeper things in your brain. So I'm not a fan of it. I can do it, but I don't particularly choose it. I find it is not nearly as powerful as EMDR and other therapies.
And then also on your card, it lists sex therapy. So this is married couples. Is it sex addiction? Is it impotence?
All of those are included. So we work with those that have different types of problems with performance, pain, and such, and we're able to correct those through therapy. I think I'm probably one of the few male Christian sex therapists in the state of Florida, very successful at treating sexual addiction. If you don't fix the root, you're never going to fix the problem. And so I find the root, I reprocess the root, and so I've had very good success with treating pornography addiction and other types of addictions like that.
And unfortunately, that's more and more common these days, even in the church. And if you're grappling with any of these things, if you find yourself listening to this and thinking, boy, I wish somebody could help me with, you know, X, Y, or Z, I would encourage you to contact Dr. Bush. And earlier we were talking about, he said he answers the cell phone. It's on his business card. It's 407-230-4949. And encourage you to write it down, or I guess you can get email at info@drbush.net. And I'll repeat these in a minute. And then the website where you can just find out more information is www.drscottbush.net. And that's drscottbush.net. And that cell phone number again is 407-230-4949. So Is there anything else? You know, these topics are complex and there's a lot more that could be said, but is there anything else that you would like to add as we wrap this up?
I'm licensed in the state of Florida, and I regularly have individuals that will fly from other states to Florida to get treatment, and they'll book 2, 3, 4 hours. And in 4 hours, we can pretty much fix almost anything that they fly in with. So it's very, very helpful. I'm not allowed to do, per law, to do counseling in other states, but I'd be glad to talk to you on the phone. And if you want to fly in to see me, I'll be glad to help you and pray that you get some of the same outcomes as my other patients.
Well, I think this is just beautiful, and hopefully this will minister to people, help people to process these things better, and also to provide hope that there's help. And we don't hear much about this in the church. I've been in church all my life, and I'd have to think real hard to think if I even heard a message on these kinds of things. Of course, in Charisma Magazine, from time to time, we cover mental health issues and put things online. We'll put this online, of course, as well as the podcast. So thank you, Dr. Scott Bush, for being on my podcast today.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Bless you, too.
This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which cost around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now let me repeat, you get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.